Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that runs the bases of history every day of the week. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're looking at a nostalgic milestone in baseball history, the day when the music of a pipe organ first drifted over a ballpark. The day was April 26, 1941. The Chicago Cubs became the first major league team to have live organ music performed at a ballgame. Cubs owner Philip K. Wrigley installed a pipe organ behind the grandstand of Wrigley Field to provide fans with a little pregame entertainment as they took their seats. The inaugural concert took place before an afternoon game between the Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals, and the tunes were supplied by local organist Ray Nelson. There's no record of which songs he played, but there's a good chance this was one of them. According to the Chicago Tribune, the more than 18,000 fans in attendance that day were delighted by Nelson's performance, even though the music wasn't allowed to continue during the actual game. Apparently, no one had bothered to clear the rights for the songs Nelson played, and because the game was set to be broadcast on the radio, they had to stop the music before the first pitch was thrown. The same thing happened at a game the following day, but the team's manager assured fans that by the time the Cubs returned home from a series of away games, they would have a deal worked out with the BMI Music Publishing Company. With that in mind, the Tribune urged readers to send the organist's suggestions for, quote, any little number you'd like to have rippled off some afternoon. Unfortunately, working out the details proved trickier than expected, and by mid-May, both the organ and the organist had disappeared from Wrigley Field. The Cubs' home turf would remain organ music-free until 1967, but in the meantime, other teams took notice of the promising experiment. In Brooklyn, New York, for example, Dodgers president Larry McPhail loved the idea of bringing live music to baseball. After all, organ music had already found a home at some of New York's other sporting events. Organist Gladys Gooding routinely played in Madison Square Garden during both Rangers and Knicks games. And if she was good enough for hockey and basketball, then why not baseball as well? McPhail invited Gooding to play the organ for the Dodgers at Ebbets Field, making her the first full-time organist for an MLB team. Gooding continued in her role as the Ebbets Field Organ Queen from 1942 to 1957, when the Dodgers made their infamous move to Los Angeles. During that time, other pipe organs began popping up at baseball fields all over the country. But it wasn't until the 1960s and early 70s that the instrument truly became a fixture of the ballpark. The Chicago White Sox installed their first organ in 1960, and because they still use it today, they can now claim the title of longest uninterrupted organ tradition in all of professional baseball. 2 years later, the Dodgers reintroduced the instrument at their new stadium in L.A., and in 1967, the Chicago Cubs, the team that started it all, finally welcomed the organ back to Wrigley Field. They went through a string of organists over the next two decades, but in 1987, the Cubs met their match with Gary Pressey. In his astounding 33-year run from 1987 to 2019, Pressey played the organ at every single game, 2,679 in total. Few would have guessed that a throwback instrument like the organ, one that was previously reserved for cathedrals, vaudeville acts, and silent movie screenings, would later come to define the sound of America's favorite pastime. And no one would have predicted that the organ's ascendancy would happen in the middle of the rock and roll era. But against the odds, that's exactly what happened. A lot of the credit for the longevity of ballpark organ music belongs to Nancy Faust, the longtime organist for the Chicago White Sox. When she first took the job at Comiskey Park in 1970, she pretty much stuck to the baseball organ playbook. She played the Star-Spangled Banner at the start of every game and Take Me Out to the Ball Game during the seventh-inning stretch. She also carried on the tradition of musically introducing the players at bat by playing the anthem of their home state. After a while, though, Nancy realized the state songs were feeling a bit dated and didn't garner much reaction from crowds used to rock and roll. So from then on, she started playing songs that fans were more familiar with, always careful to somehow tie each song to a player's name, number, or disposition. That would have been innovative enough. I mean, she basically invented walk-up music as we know it. But Nancy didn't stop there. Fueled by the crowd's positive response, she began using the organ to react to the game itself. When someone stole a base, she'd play Smooth Criminal. And if someone streaked naked across the field, as often happened in those days, she'd launch into an organ rendition of Is That All There Is? But Nancy's most famous addition to the baseball songbook has to be the one she played during strikeouts, 1969's Na Na Hey Hey Kiss Him Goodbye by Steam. Take a listen. The playful commentary that Nancy provided on the organ heightened the experience of attending a baseball game, giving the crowd something to laugh, sing, or chant along with. Far more than mere background music, her performances essentially scored the action of the game as if it were a film, just as past organists had done for silent movies. Except, in her case, she mostly decided what to play on the fly, which made the whole experience feel lively, spontaneous, and unique. Nancy's knack for knowing what to play and when to play it quickly made her a legend among baseball fans. Her talents were so renowned that other teams started sending their organists to Comiskey Park just to watch her in action. Pretty soon, her soundtrack approach to organ playing became the standard of the trade, characterized by comedic punctuation and topical song choices. In the decades since Nancy Faust reinvented the game, ballpark organ music has had its ups and downs. In the 1980s and 90s, some teams moved to new stadiums and didn't bring their pipe organs along. Others had their organists retire and then just didn't hire new ones. Still, even in those cases, organ music didn't fade from their stadiums completely. Pre-recorded tracks were still played over the loudspeakers to add a little nostalgia to the proceedings. Fans' expectation of hearing organ music at a ball game eventually led to a resurgence of the practice in the 2010s. Teams started hiring back their organists, and as of 2024, more than half of the 30 teams in the MLB now employ one, even if only part-time. In many cases, a ballpark organist is now paired with a DJ who spins more contemporary tracks in between the classics. That compromise has helped secure the organ's future in American baseball. And it's a good thing, too, because rooting for the home team just wouldn't be the same without it. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.